It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The Norwegian shooting suspect, Anders Behring Breivik, will be held in isolation for 2 months. A judge made that decision after Breivik acknowledged killing dozens of people on Friday. But the extremism he represents was not so isolated within his country.
Some Norwegians are starting to question whether their open and free society has been too lax in tolerating extremist views. It's a question with implications well beyond Norway. And we start our coverage with NPR's Sylvia Pajoli in Oslo.
This is the soundtrack of a video Breivik posted on YouTube before Friday's brutal attacks. The text rages against multiculturalism and echoes his 1,500-page manifesto calling for a Christian war to defend Europe from Islamic domination. Throughout the media, Breivik has been described as a lone lunatic on the far fringe of society. Rune Berglundsten of the Norwegian Center Against Racism disagrees.
Most of his ideas, his view of society, is not original. He has sort of bought into a certain ideology which is already there, including the distrust, or in his case, the hatred of Muslims.
Breivik once belonged to the ultra-right-wing Progress Party. Sten says the party, which has become the country's second largest, wants much stricter controls on immigration, while Breivik is much more violent.
What he wants is to kill the people who are not like him.
Norway has a population of just under 5 million. 11% of them are immigrants. Half of these are Muslim, and Islam has become the country's second largest religion. Norway does not share the economic pain other European countries are going through. It's oil-rich and has virtually no unemployment. Nevertheless, there is mounting unease over the rapidly growing number of immigrants. Sten explains why.
A country which is really enjoys a level of social welfare that few other countries do enjoy. It is easy to become protective. It is easy to become nationalistic. For a country that has often experienced itself as homogeneous, although it hasn't been, it is easy to sort of feel the lure of the idea of impurity, the idea of including new elements into our society. It is a potent and dangerous sentiment.
Breivik says there are two other extremist cells, and investigators are focusing on whether he acted alone or had accomplices. It's a big challenge because right-wing extremism has been more or less ignored by security officials. Professor Lars Gule of Oslo University has monitored the field for years. He even chatted with Breivik a few years ago on one of the suspect's favorite ultra-right-wing websites.
These websites are working as greenhouses because they tend to be isolated. There is no opposing voice there. So the extremist postings are the fertilizer within the greenhouse, and one should not be surprised when a terrorist flower sticks its head up.
Gule estimates that many thousands of people regularly visit these websites in Norway alone. He then adds the rest of Scandinavia, Britain, France, and Germany.
We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people with extremist, reactionary, xenophobic, and Islamophobic views.
Gule says careful research is needed to determine exactly who is involved and how many they are. By ignoring the issue for so long, he says, many of these extremist ideas have crept into the everyday political debate. For example, in postings on online editions of daily newspapers.
And then next time around, the editors of the paper editions will allow letters to the editor that would have been put straight into the wastebaskets 10 years ago. Now they can be published.
Sten of the Norwegian Center Against Racism says everyone has been affected by right-wing extremism. The climate has changed so radically, he says, that even the word racism has been so discredited that he and his colleagues don't use it anymore. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Oslo.